Evan Roberts.
Hi.
Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Let me start by saying I'm proud of Tiki Barber because today, much like yesterday, Tiki has a vacation day. And yesterday he's like, yeah, screw vacation day. I got nothing to do. I'm going to come in and do a show, which defeats the whole purpose of a vacation day. Today, Tiki Barber is wisely saying, you know what, screw it. I don't need to sit next to Evan for 4.5 hours hearing him say absurd things. I'm going to take a vacation day. So Tiki's out. He'll be back next week. Sean Morash in the big chair. And Sean's fascinating to me. He's actually a really interesting science experiment. I want you to hear me out on this, Sean.
Wonderful.
So tomorrow, the Giants and the Jets are playing preseason games. And don't worry, Yankee fans, we'll get to you coming up. Met fans, we'll get to you coming up. Yes, I think the Mets are mediocre, but we'll more on that later. The Giant fan in January wanted the head coach fired. The Giant fan in January wanted the general manager fired. The Giant fan in January and December, not you particularly, were flying airplanes above the stadium, begging the owner to make changes. I would argue that in December of 2024, there was no more toxic time to be around the New York Football Giants based on the consistency of losing, based on the fan reaction, based on the no hope that the Giant fan had. So far, have I said anything untrue?
Sort of. I think. No. Hear me out. For the most part, you're right. The only thing I would say is,
yes,
about half the Giants fans wanted the general manager and coach fired. Remember, there was a big fracture in the Giants.
There was a fracture. I'd argue it wasn't half. It was probably majority wanted these guys fired. I'd say 60 to 70%, but whatever. Not quibble over it.
But the point is, yeah.
It was toxic, right?
It was at least that Giant fans were fighting with each other, and whatever the problems were, whether you wanted the coach or GM fired, then they were arguing other problems.
So sure.
No matter what, everybody was unhappy to a degree.
No doubt. And after John Mara announced that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane were coming back, there was a very much mixed review on it. A lot of people were upset. And it felt like, we're just wasting our time. Next year, they're gone anyway. So I now fast forward to today, August 8th, the day before the Giants play their first preseason game. And I'm not putting you guys down for this at all. Like, I admire this. I wish I could be more optimistic. Like, I just had a conversation with Sal, spoke to a few of my friends. They're not happy with my pessimism around the Mets. I wish I could be a more optimistic guy in general. Sometimes I am. Sometimes I'm not. I'm enamored. And maybe it's just you, and maybe it's just Tiki. Maybe it's not the majority of Giant fans listening to our voice right now. But I'm enamored by how confident the Giant fan is, considering how ugly things were 8 months ago. So, first of all, before your retort,
yeah.
Giant fans, does Sean represent you? Are you positive going into tomorrow and the start of the season? Or are you like, no, Evan, it's still toxic. It still sucks. I still want the coach fired. The world is burning. 888-808-1019. With that said,
okay,
tell me how that's changed for you.
All right. So I think there's a couple different envelopes we have to open up here to tell you why this has changed. First and foremost, I think you need to define optimism and positivity. Because for, I think, the majority of Giant fans that are optimistic, like myself, nobody is screaming from the mountaintops that they're going from 3 wins to 10 wins. I think the bar of optimism has been lowered, and maybe that's partially because of the brutal schedule they have. I think you're seeing a ceiling of optimism around, hey, I think this team's going to be a 7-win team building towards hopefully a big 2026 with Jackson Dart. Is that fair to say? So is that really...
Is which part fair to say?
Well,
the 6 wins or which part?
The fact that you're saying everybody like me is optimistic, but optimism, I think, to a lot of people would be, wow, people think the Giants are going to win 10 games, go make the playoffs. I don't think you're getting that from
Giants.
No,
okay, so here's where the optimism lies. A year ago, maybe not a year ago, but 6 months ago, there was a no-confidence vote from Giant fans about this administration.
Sure.
There was I don't believe in this head coach, he should be fired. I don't believe in this GM, he should be fired. And now, 6 months later, without a game being played, we've got, I like where we're headed.
Yeah,
I mean, 6 months ago, you wanted everybody fired.
Now, let me take you through the offseason here, because this is important to note. We are used to, especially in the Dave Gettleman era and the early returns in those first two drafts of the Joe Shane era, bottoming out ineptitude of the umpteenth degree, which has led this roster down here. I don't think anybody in their wildest imaginations, maybe outside of Tiki Barber, and that's why he's smarter than the rest of us, thought the moment that season ended when Shane and Dable were keeping their job, that the Giants with the number three overall pick in the draft were going to select Abdul Carter, arguably the best player in the draft, depending on how you felt with Travis Hunter. Many of us thought, well, now they're in scramble mode. They're going to have to protect themselves by taking a quarterback third overall. Maybe it's Shedeur Sanders. I think the idea that Giants fans didn't have what happened with Daniel Jones all over again, where you felt like you could get a quarterback later and was taken that high, has helped the team feel like, well, okay, that was a pretty competent way to approach the draft. And you end up thus walking out with this optimism with the draft, the positive reviews on Dart. I think also, while we were caught up in that, a funny thing happened. We were able to breathe. March happened and April happened. And we realized, oh yeah, Daniel Jones is not the quarterback of this team. Tommy DeVito is not the starting quarterback of this team. They have a new quarterback room that is full of personalities and full of a guy right now who did win a Super Bowl in his career that could bridge the gap to the rookie you selected, not with your first pick, but a later first-round pick. I think there was a part of this offseason where we almost unexpectedly didn't think so. And even with the cap space, people screamed and yelled about cap space, and Tiki told us it was fungible. They end up getting one of the best corners on the market, maybe the best safety on the market, and suddenly that added to Abdul Carter. You look around, and it's impossible, even for the biggest Giant hater, to look at the Giants' defense on paper and go, boy, that could be a top 10 unit. I think that's just being objective about
it. Well, a couple of things. You mixed in the let's kill Daniel Jones aspect of it, like let's kill the dead guy.
Yeah.
I mean, for years, and you were certainly one of them, it was the offensive line's fault that Daniel Jones was inadequate.
Yep.
Now, blame Daniel Jones. Blame the dead guy. He's not here. It was all his fault. Now we've got the washed Russell Wilson as quarterback, so don't you worry. We'll all be fine. No.
Well, first of all, washed Russell Wilson made a playoffs last year with less of a wide receiver than Malik Nabers did and a top 10 defense, which the Giants could have. That happened.
Hold on 1 second. I know Tiki is on vacation, but every once in a while I like to check in with Tiki, bad Tiki, good Tiki, to ask him his opinion about Russell Wilson. I'm just curious. What is random? If you're not ready, Connor, just give me a signal.
Wow, this would be bad.
I think Russell Wilson's washed.
What were you saying now about Russ? Go ahead.
Okay. He still made the playoffs last year, did he not? With a team in the Steelers.
I mean, the Steelers have proven over the years that I could be the quarterback and make the playoffs.
All right, fine. Neither here nor there. What he did with Pittsburgh, I think, is all the Giants are looking for. Nobody's thinking he's going to turn around and turn the Giants into a Super Bowl contender. But for 1 year, as you try to figure out what Jackson Dart is, I think it ends up being the smartest fit. Boy, imagine they had traded for Matthew Stafford. What would we be
saying
right
now? That's
what
you wanted.
I know. But guess what? That's why I'm not the general manager.
I mean, I'm fighting with everybody that it was a stupid idea.
And now he's hurt. I think the Giants, whether it's luck or whatever, ended up having an enormous offseason. And despite their bad record, last year's offseason and last year's draft class, who you expect all those guys to take another step, that's a foundational draft. The Giants now have put back-to-back drafts and a good offseason of free agency together. And this roster looks nothing like it did 2 years ago.
Here's the kind of the issue I have as an IFO. Okay.
All right.
As an IFO, I look at the New York Giants after last season ended, and I thought, they got to blow it up. It didn't work. I mean, Dable gave you that quick start, which we've seen from coaches in this town before, and it just failed. It was so bad the last 2 years that what I would have done, and we talked about this back in January, is I would have blown the whole thing up and started over. Once they brought both guys back, and yes, on paper, the draft looks good. I'm not going to sit here and crap on the draft. I'm not even going to crap on the roster that's been put together. But I still don't have that full faith in this general manager and in this head coach. And so as I go into this season, trying to be as independent-minded as I can, yes, I think you're better than last year. I do. I think the schedule is so brutal that even being better, you may only win 4 or 5 games. I think that's on the table. And I wonder, since in this case I'm not being emotional, and you are, and Giant fans are, if you're going to reverse course very quickly on what you're saying now in August, which is sort of sensible. Hey, I like the roster. Hey, I like the draft. I'm open-minded. Well, are you going to be as open-minded if they finish 4-13? I have a tough time believing that.
Not all 4-13s look alike. I don't think I'll be happy with 4-13.
So I agree that not all 4-13s look alike, but we've seen a lot of losing football.
Yeah.
And I can tell, just you and a lot of others, that we are so sick of losing that I'm not sure with another year from the same head coach, this would be year 4, that in the 4th year of a head coach, you're going to be able to look at a 4 or 5 win season and say, but I like the direction. Like, maybe I can do it with a brand new head coach and GM, and I'm not even saying I can. Like, more on the Jets later. I don't know if I can sit here in 4-13 and say, boy, I feel good about the new head coach. And you're telling me you and others are going to be able to do that with the fourth now, year of a head coach?
You have to realize something.
Color me skeptical.
It's still a coach that we want to forget that first year he did win Coach of the Year, which probably set the organization back, which is why I think some of the fan base was faithful in wanting to bring him back. Giants fans, and maybe a whole generation has passed, but at least people in my demographic, right, late 30s and older, lived a season where the Giants only won six games, five of which were with a former Super Bowl champion quarterback, handing over to a rookie first rounder who didn't win a game until the last week of the season. But even in those losses, you saw the building blocks. If you're telling me the Giants go win four or five games, and it's because it's a hard schedule where they lost a lot of close games early, Russell Wilson was hanging in, defense showed faith, but they're losing close games to good teams. And then you hand it over to Jackson Dart maybe earlier than we think, and he loses basically every game until, let's say, the second or last week of the year when they play the Raiders.
There's a big difference. There's a big problem with your analogy.
Okay.
Can I poke a hole in it?
Sure, go ahead.
So, 2004, and that's a season we're going to hear a lot about, and certainly with Tiki because he experienced it. Here the Giants were. They were sort of in it. They had this veteran, former Super Bowl winning quarterback, and then they made the change middle of the season to Eli, and even though they didn't win games, you felt good about the future. And you're going to hear that a lot, and I understand why that comp is brought up. There is one huge difference that you didn't mention that's very different between that circumstance and this circumstance. Do you want to guess before I tell you?
Because I know, because I already have my
go ahead.
It was Tom Coughlin's first year.
Yes, okay. And not only Tom Coughlin's first year, Tom Coughlin was a winner in this league. So you're at least doing this with a head coach that you could point towards and say, he's got a resume. Brian Daboll, and I don't forget the phone calls we took in November and December and even January. The jury is out on this head coach. And you could tell me all day he won Coach of the Year. That's great. Eric Mangini made the playoffs in his first year. I'm an expert on coaches winning early and then stinking the rest. I didn't want to say suck, because I think that's so immature, so I'm trying to change that to stinking. And so what happened right there is I tried to alter the words at the same time. My apologies.
I disagree, by the way.
Rookie suck.
Stinking.
That's your thinking.
Stinking sounds more immature.
You think so?
It sounds more childish.
So what would you say instead?
Sucking. I think sucking's emphatic.
I can't do that.
I think you're thinking of it the wrong way.
Stinking
sounds cheesy.
I had a parent come up to me at Citi Field the other day and said, listen, my 10-year-old loves the Rico. I said, thank you. That means a lot to me. He says, you're such a level-headed Met fan. You know, you give things time. You don't jump to conclusions after small sample sizes. You know, you're really a balanced Met fan. I said, thank you. Some people don't agree with that, but thank you. He says, but my one problem with you is why you got to say suck all the time? And I said, well, tell them not to suck with runners in scoring position. I won't say it. But I was having a thought, like, I shouldn't say suck. So I want that out of my vocabulary.
Suck a bad word?
It's not that it's just, you know what? Let's just go with something else. So is stink a good word, Connor, or is there another word you would use?
But I think stink's a fine word.
Thanks, bro.
It's a little more delicate than suck.
Okay.
When we were kids, I think we used to use the word they bite.
Oh, you want to go with bite?
Yeah.
They stink. Yeah. See? He knew how to do it.
Yeah.
They stink. So let me get back to this.
Okay.
Brian Daboll in the fourth year of coaching is not Tom Coughlin in year one. And so every time you or anyone else brings up the 04 analogy, you do have to keep that in mind.
Tom Coughlin, in his first year as a head coach, got to have a rookie first-round quarterback. This is Brian Daboll's first year with a rookie first-round quarterback.
So you're exonerating the first 3 years?
I'm exonerating the last two. The first year was a good one.
No, I get you. Well, I'm looking at his entire sample size. You are exonerating first 3 years of his tenure here.
Exonerate's the wrong word. Like, it still lives, but I think it lives beyond this year. I really think, now look, they could be incompetent if a lot of the guys we've talked about as foundational pieces of the roster besides Jackson Dart, like, I don't know, if all of these offensive linemen, more on them in a little bit, stink, if Brian Burns, who they invested heavily in, really just isn't that good, you know, go on and on, Newbin and Phillips, like all these guys who we think are going to be foundational core pieces all step back and they look atrocious, okay, then maybe we could have the conversation. But I don't think at the end of this year, even with four or five wins, that ownership is going to hold a full four-year sample size against Brian Daboll and want to get rid of him. I think he's going to look the other way and go, we screwed Daniel Jones up over three head coaches and all that time. We got to see this thing out for at least next year where it's an all-in year with Jackson Dart.
Yeah, I have a tough time believing, and I don't want to be negative as the Giants are getting set to play their first preseason game, and the Jets, too, on Saturday night. I don't think the Giants are going to be good. And I think I've been here long enough, and I've had differing opinions every year, for you to know and look into my eyes to know I am not saying that to be a jerk.
I know
I'm not saying that to be negative or be a troll. I give you my honest opinion. You may not like it, but there's no ulterior motive. And I will tell you why I don't think the Giants are going to be good, besides the schedule, which is obvious, and I throw it out there. We all know that. Yeah. I don't trust the offensive line. I don't trust Andrew Thomas to stay healthy. And I've said this to you before. I think Andrew Thomas is one of the most important players in New York sports. If he gets hurt, like we saw last year, like we saw the year before that, the offensive line gets completely derailed. I don't trust Evan Neal to be a starter in this league. I appreciate that they're moving him to guard. We saw it work with Mekhi Becton. We saw it work with Ereck Flowers. I'm skeptical till I see it. So I don't trust your offensive line. Their pass rush could be special. Are you going to stop the run? Because you didn't do that last year.
That's a big question.
Like, those are... So far, I'm asking fair questions,
yeah.
Right?
No.
I don't know if the quarterback has much left. You heard what Tiki said. I think most of us kind of feel that way about Russell Wilson.
Did he make the playoffs?
I think Russell Wilson's washed.
I think the Pittsburgh Steelers made the playoffs last year, bro. I wouldn't say Russell Wilson and a little bit of Justin Fields did. I'd say the Steelers made the playoffs.
Did Russell Wilson throw enough moon balls down the year? That is something the Giants have not had the last 2 years. Daniel Jones has been scared to release the ball down the field.
So what you're saying is Daniel Jones and everyone else, Drew Locke, Tommy DeVito, was so bad that even a washed up Russell Wilson is such an upgrade.
Mr. Unlimited.
That's where you're talking.
I am. I think that, okay, context matters. Andrew Thomas' health is everything in terms of, like, the Giants can't afford to lose him. I can't argue that. And if we're having a conversation, what will the Giants be like if Andrew Thomas is not on the field? Very tough to argue that they're going to be super competitive. So I hear you, and I do have my questions
about
that.
And it's fair to worry about that.
Fair to worry.
The way I feel about Elijah Vera Tucker, like, it's until the guy stays healthy, and AVT did last year, and even still I'm skeptical.
Dude, it's totally fair to worry. I do think that the Giants approach this offseason without the nonsense they've done the last 2 years of taking a third-round guard, hoping he could play left tackle in Azudu, signing Hubbard off the Pittsburgh practice squad and throwing him right out there to start at left tackle. They signed a James Hudson. They drafted a fifth-round pick. Also last year, when they finally got the senses and moved Jermaine Illuminor to left tackle, they were able to function again. Those first 6 weeks with Andrew Thomas last year, we came on here after every single game going, how bad is Daniel Jones? He finally has time to throw a football. Those five offensive linemen, if Thomas are healthy, are out there. It doesn't mean they're the greatest offensive line in the world, but are they adequate enough for this team to move the ball? Yes. And last year, we hated at the bye week when Joe Shane brought up the close games the Giants played. Remember that?
Yeah.
The fact is, though, they did play a lot of close games until the wheels fell off later in the year. And what is oftentimes the difference in close games? Turnovers? They couldn't get any last year. They invested in Newbin. I mean, they invested in Holland. They invested in Adebo and a pass rush that should cause them. And big explosive plays down the field. They had a quarterback that was afraid to throw them. 2 years ago, when Taylor came out, he was at least attacking down the field. If Wilson is doing that and you get a couple more turnovers, dude, that's the difference in getting three more wins than you had last year.
So you just said... And I remember this when Joe Shane said, hey, look, we've lost a lot of close games. What did you think when he said that? Did that bother you?
I said, people are going to hate this, but he's right.
He's right that they could go either way. Now, you could make the same argument for the year they had success.
Absolutely.
They won a lot of close games. You also said at the beginning of this discussion, hey, not all 4-13s look the same.
Sure.
If the Giants end up going 4-13, which is on the table, and again, not being a bad guy, look at the schedule. I know things can change. The Chargers have already faced a brutal injury with Slater being out for the year. I get it. Things can change. They could also change the other way. Like, right now we may think, the Raiders will suck. And then the Raiders have a great year. So I know it goes both ways.
Not with Ashton Jeanty getting -1 yards in a preseason game.
If the New York Giants are 4-13, but they lose a lot of close games, and Joe Shane says the same thing he said a year ago, do you really think Giant fans are going to be like, well, we lost a lot of close games?
Yes, because now you have Jackson Dart.
Come on, but a year ago, we weren't thinking the same thing.
Because it felt hopeless. They were an abyss. You didn't know what the plan was at quarterback. That's the biggest question involving the Giants. Those questions are over. Now, Jackson Dart could be a bust. We don't know. And we have to worry about that later. But there's optimism that no matter when the Giants fail this year and when the Giants reach that point, you will hand it over to a first-round quarterback where, I hate to say it, I think most Giant fans with a brain in between their ears would say, the wins necessarily don't matter the rest of the year. I want to see the development of this quarterback, and then I will be excited for next year. And are you going to stunt the development of the quarterback with four wins and fire Brian Daboll, who handpicked him? Probably not.
We'll get to your calls next. I find this to be a fascinating situation. Rarely do you not have changes at GM, coach, or manager and have this optimism. Like, the Jet fan having optimism is because Robert Saleh was a disaster, and Aaron Glenn can't possibly be worse, and we feel like adults are running the show. Makes sense. Doesn't mean the Jets are going to be good, but you can understand the optimism. The Giant fan, are you optimistic, even though the GM and coach you wanted fired 7 months ago are still here? We'll hear from you to start, 888-808-1019. We'll get into the baseball. A huge weekend for both teams. The Mets are facing what has been, at least over the last few months, the best team in the National League. And overall, they're the best team in the National League. The Brewers will preview that series, as well as the Yankees renewing a rivalry with the Houston Astros. What are you watching on Saturday afternoon? The New York Giants against the Buffalo Bills, preseason football, 1 o'clock. The New York Yankees versus the Houston Astros, obviously following Old Timers Day or the Alumni Classic, whatever they're calling it. But I also gave a third option, which is neither. It's the summer. So, first of all, Sean, I want you to answer the question. I'll give you the results, and then we will get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Plenty of baseball later as well.
Okay. I know I will be watching the Yankees live. If I had my choice, I'd be watching the Giants live. That's my answer.
What does that mean?
I've said this on the air. Tomorrow, I have the honor of being a godfather to my nephew.
Oh, okay? So you're busy.
I will be in church at 1 o'clock dipping a baby's head into holy water.
Be careful.
I know. Okay? And then I will take young Asher back home to a party at my parents' house, to which my dad has declared, since he can't watch the Giant game live, we're going right to the Yankees at 2 o'clock at the backyard bar at the party, because he doesn't want to start the game like that and be caught off guard.
You know what's easier about DVRing the Giants game and DVRing the Jets game?
Fast forward the crap that you don't care.
Not even that. You're right, though. I don't care, and none of us should, about the result.
Right. If I check the score, who cares?
It doesn't matter. So when I DVR, and I'm a big DVR guy, it's how I'm able to watch every pitch of my team. It's the only way to do it, to have a life and be a decent husband and father. I care greatly about being spoiled the score.
Yes.
But when the Jets play a preseason game, you could tell me they lost 35-3. Let me see how it happened. Let me see how the bacon was made. Let me see how my offensive line looked. Let me see how my quarterback looked. So the score doesn't matter. So I would always prioritize the baseball more than the preseason football, because the preseason football result doesn't matter.
I will be you. Late night Saturday, I will be by myself, everybody in my house sleeping, watching the Giants and Bills.
Now, what do you think the results were on my unofficial Twitter poll?
It's a Friday in the summertime.
Saturday afternoon.
I don't know. I'm saying I'm the mindset of people.
Oh, the mindset of people is it's a Friday afternoon.
So I think your third option, the summer, is going to win.
Neither It's the Summer got 54% of the vote.
Wow.
Then Giants, Bills, and Yankees, Astros was a tight race for second place. 24% for Giants, Bills, 22% for Yankees, Astros.
Doesn't that just...
So Jackson Dart wins.
And that, doesn't that tell you something, too, with the NFL? Enough. We don't need the daytime... We commit all of those Saturdays and Sundays, all fall, winter. We got a couple more of these left. We don't need Saturday 1 o'clock preseason.
Yeah, no, I hate that. I think preseason football should not be allowed to occur during the afternoon.
Jets played one versus the Commanders last year.
No, no, it sucks. It's absolutely awful. The worst. Like, it's got to be at night for a few reasons. Number one, yeah, you want to enjoy your summer. But more than that, it's freaking hot out.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Mean, yeah, and watching football when it's hot out actually bothers me.
And not all of us have, like, you know, me and you have the ability to watch a game outside. Like, all these people in apartment stuff, you don't want to be cooped up inside watching the football all day on a Saturday. You want to get outside.
I agree. And it's going to be a fun weekend, because Yankees Astros is not just Yankees Astros. It's Old Timers Day.
Yep.
And they brought back the game. More on that a little bit later on. So that's pretty cool.
And if Joe B is listening, Joe B, you're not going to get the Yankee Astro game. It's on Apple TV tonight.
Oh, God.
I can't take it.
Let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019. The number, Shane in Rutherford, New Jersey. Fine afternoon to you, Shane.
How you doing, Evan? So I wanted to explain to you, at least from my perspective, the confidence, the high confidence level from Giants fans.
Yes, go ahead.
Now, on my end, Dable was never a question. Never had an issue with Dable, not at all. It was more so Joe Shane. I thought he had a good draft last year, and I'm probably, all my friends, 95% of them are Giants fans. I'm telling every one of them, the biggest concern I had was what they were going to do as far as a quarterback. If Joe Shane were to take Shador Sanders, because he was the hot commodity, right? He was projected top five. I watched every one of his college games. I thought it was a joke that he was even considered to be a top round three draft pick. I thought he was nothing near an NFL quarterback. So I said, okay, he's on the hot seat. What's he going to do? Is he just going to take him because that's what you should do when you're on a hot seat, take hot commodity, take what everybody's talking about him, or organize a draft or go about it a different way in the sense of where you take who you think you should take instead of what everybody's talking about? And because he didn't do that because he took Jackson Dart. I mean, that wasn't even my, you know, I've never really even watched him, but I did watch Adore Sanders.
That's funny.
And I think now
So your confidence is that you so didn't believe in Shador Sanders, and time will tell, that you were so happy he didn't take him, I believe in him. I don't even know if Jackson Dart's any good.
I think a lot of people feel that way. You would still feel that way, though, if they took Dart at three. You would get a lot of complaints. Gettleman got killed because it was Daniel Jones instead of Josh Hines Allen at the time. They got Abdul. And also, I don't think anybody thought Abdul Carter was falling to three. Remember, there was talk about Travis Hunter and all of that. That's a part of it. I find that odd, though. Knowing that college football is not that big in the Northeast, I know me and Loogie love it. You saw way more Colorado games than a guy who played in the SEC.
Well, maybe Sanders.
Maybe he was scouting as a football, as a Giant fan, knowing.
Jeez.
If you're a Giant, because this is the way I watch college sports, too. Like, when I watch it, and I don't watch it all the time because I am married, and to some that may be a shock. And the only way I'm able to pull that off is to have some balances. So while I watch every Met game and every Jet and Giant game and every Yankee game, like, Nebraska was my cutoff. The Buckeyes were the cutoff. But when I do watch college sports, it's all about my team or the Giants drafting that player.
Okay.
So if you're a Giant fan who's like, all right, I only care about the NFL, you probably laser-focused more in on Shador than you did anybody else because he was projected to be a top pick.
I guess that's true.
Look,
Dart was up there, though, too.
He was, but I think Shador got more hype.
He did.
At the beginning of this college football season. At the end of the day, and this is what did in Joe Douglas, and this is what did in Dave Gettleman, and this is what may well do in Joe Shane, you better get the quarterback right.
Oh, no doubt.
They've taken 3 years without selecting the guy. Now they did. They better get it right.
It doesn't matter if Abdul Carter literally is Lawrence Taylor. If Jackson Dart stinks, you're out.
And here's the proof of that. Dave Gettleman. Because Dave Gettleman drafted Andrew Thomas.
I was going to say the proof of it is Joe Douglas with Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner.
Oh, no. Joe Douglas is a great comp, but I'm using the team that you're talking about. Like, who are your best players on the New York Giants? I know I rub this into you a lot. The Giants' best players are drafted by Dave Gettleman.
Well, not anymore.
Well, who?
Dex is number one, Neighbors is number two.
Dexter Lawrence was drafted by Dave Gettleman.
I know, but Neighbors is your other 1B.
Andrew Thomas.
Over Neighbors now?
I think if Andrew Thomas is healthy, he's more important,
Important is different. Neighbors might be top five in his...
No, he's not. I think Andrew... I will stand by my comment based on this regard.
Right.
And it could change. Subject to change. Don't hang this over me like 2 years from now. Malik Neighbors right now, and I brought this up to you about a month ago where he was ranked as like the 12th best wide receiver in the NFL, and you guys are like, I kind of understand it. So that's where he is right now. Could be higher. You agreed, so don't shake your head. Because I brought it up and said, is this a big deal to you guys? You're like, it's probably right. Andrew Thomas, when healthy, is one of the best left tackles in the NFL. So it's not even close.
Okay.
So rescind the comment.
I'm not going to rescind
it. Well, I just proved you wrong.
I believe Malik Neighbors is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL.
Then why didn't you get all upset when PFF had him ranked like 13th overall and you said, no, I get that. Look at some of the other great wide receivers. Well, left tackle-wise, when Andrew Thomas is healthy, he's top three.
Evan,
am I wrong?
You're again proving in our relationship. You don't listen to me, man.
Oh, he's going to alter what he said now. Great.
What I said was... PFF goes through all the statistical analysis. He didn't have a quarterback throwing him the ball down the field.
Oh, so when he has a quarterback, he stops.
Yes.
Right. And Andrew Thomas sucks, right?
Andrew Thomas doesn't suck.
Okay.
I think it's great that they have four of the best players in football, including Abdul Carter.
Let's go to our good buddy Vernon down in Atlanta, Georgia. What's up, Vernon?
Evan, give me some time to get my points out.
All yours, baby. The clock is up, and it's unlimited.
Okay.
Mr. Unlimited.
First and foremost, on that watching the games tomorrow, I can watch both of them because I got two TVs in my room. Three apps where I can get everything. Like Apple TV and all that don't even matter to me because I get all that stuff.
You baller, like, Vernon, you.
second of all, right, the reason I say they can win 10 games is because I believe in Russ. Russ, I wanted Russell Wilson when he went to Denver. And if Tiki was there, I'd tell Tiki, you was wrong about your boy, who's your offensive coordinator? Hackett.
Nate Hackett.
Hackett didn't know how to coach. He didn't know how to coach Russell Wilson. And the reason Russell Wilson is going to play good this year, Tierra always wanted to come to New York, and she finally got her wish. She didn't want to go to Pittsburgh. And then last year, Pittsburgh had a lot of problems, man.
Bernie, why do you think that's going to make Russell Wilson play better? Because Tierra wants to be here longer? Dart was already drafted.
No, because she give him that good every night. And
She did sing the song Goodies.
And that's going to get the most out of Russ.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Here's kind of the problem. So if you look at last year with Russell Wilson, how would you say his year was last year?
fine.
It was fine. I think that, by the way, I think that's a fair answer. I think he was fine. I don't think he was like washed up, unplayable. He needs to be a backup. I think he was fine.
Yeah.
How do you think Justin Fields was last year with the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Fine.
I think they were both fine.
Yeah.
And Justin Fields started 6 games. Russell Wilson started 11 games, which is how we got to 17.
Yeah, good math.
Justin Fields was 4-2. Russell Wilson was 6-5. And I know you're not a believer in Justin Fields, and a lot of Jet fans aren't either. In that system, with that team, on that roster, they both kind of did the same thing when it comes to winning and losing.
Sure.
In fact, Fields was slightly better.
Well,
so
what do you think Fields would have done versus Kansas City and Baltimore late in the year? That's where
cite the success of Russ.
Sure, yeah.
I'm not even going to cite the success of Justin Fields because it's a whole new ballgame on a different team.
No, I think...
You know what I mean?
No, I do agree with you. I think the reason I'm citing the success of Russ, I think there's two things at play here. Russ was no longer going to work for Pittsburgh because this is a coach that keeps losing the wild card round, and they need to find a quarterback that can try to get them, you know, back to an AFC title game or win a playoff game. What Russ did, those 6 wins, like that, I think the Giants, actually, you're underestimating where the roster is defensively. They are a lot closer, similar to what Pittsburgh had roster-wise last year. I think the Giants looked at it and said, we'll sign for this, you know, 6-5, something like that.
Okay, but the problem with saying that about the Giants is you're projecting what you hope as opposed to the actual results.
Well, let me say
this. You know, the roster is better. I'm not arguing that. But to put them on. Yeah, of course they do.
All right.
Dude, they were like 27th in the league stopping the run, and now you're making them the Steelers.
Dude.
Do you realize how unfair that is?
I understand it's unfair, but it's also the reality. And anybody's
going to. But it's not the reality.
It is the reality on paper.
The Steelers were a top 10 defense last year.
They were.
The Giants have to do that.
They do have to, but we can only project right now. We are in August.
Okay. Sorry, I'm getting very excited. Yeah. I love debating football. Last year, the Giants ranked where stopping the run? Do you remember where?
Were they
25th,
dead last?
26th, 27th? No, they weren't that last, but they weren't good.
They were bad.
The Steelers were a top 6 defense against the run last year.
It's my biggest question.
To say on the radio, hey, you know, we drafted Abdul Carter, and we got a lot of talent. The Giants or the Steelers on defense is such an unfair statement that I have to like say, bro, are you serious?
All right. Now,
you really can't say that.
Why are we acting like this is the same defense from last year?
I get, because they have to still go do it.
Of course they do. But that's the whole point.
Do you think they're a top 6 defense in the NFL?
I think they have a chance to be.
A lot of things have a chance to be.
Of course.
The Jets had a chance to be.
I think the better way to answer this is, if the Giants' schedule wasn't what it was, do you think there'd be more hype for the Giants this year?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because I think that they are facing, basically every team they're facing is significantly better than
them. But why if the schedule was even like 30% lighter?
Because
would
there they
be more
have
hype?
A very improved roster.
Yes.
But
specifically the defense,
but
right?
Sean, I agree they have an improved roster. I think most people agree with that. It's like, we're all good. We're all good until you say they're the Steelers, which is what you just said. And I have 2 choices. I could let it go and let someone else call in and scream
similar,
at you.
Man.
Or they're not, though, based on results.
Did the Steelers have a receiver half as good as Malik Davis?
I'm not talking about receivers. I'm talking about their defense. You brought up the defense. I'm responding with their defense. I didn't say anything about Malik Neighbors. Mm-hmm. I didn't say anything about George Pickens. I didn't say anything about that. I said you brought up defense and said they're basically the Steelers. And I had to because, again, I have 2 choices. I can let it go, which sometimes I do with things that are said. I let a caller take care of it or someone on Reddit take care of it. Or I say, hey, Giants and the Steelers, ooh, that's rough. Really want to...
If you go on paper...
If on paper.
Look at their, let's just call it their top 13 defensive players. Look at the Giants' top 13 defensive players. If you don't think they're similar, you're not paying attention
to
sport
football. You know what the cavemen did with paper? They used to wipe their tuchus with it.
Well, they didn't have paper.
Oh, didn't they?
No, they drew on rocks, remember? Yeah. That's how we got the hieroglyphics.
Connor, when did they invent paper? Like, do we have a year date on that one?
2000 BC, possibly. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, check that one out.
BC, by the way, before Christ. I'm a godfather tomorrow.
Very good.
Do you know what AD stands for?
Anthony Davis.
Who was the president?
I think it stands for Anno Domini.
Yeah, very good.
After death.
Who's the president before Jimmy Carter?
Nixon.
I mean, it was close, but you're wrong.
Reagan? Reagan was after Carter, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to do like who was alive recently.
The guy was never elected president or vice president.
What?
That's right. The only man in American history that was not elected to the office of president or vice president.
Somebody died?
And yet served as president. So here's what happened. Richard Nixon was president.
Uh-huh.
His vice president was forced to resign, never filled the vacancy. then he had to resign due to Watergate. Uh-huh. And so he, I'm sorry, let me, I told the story wrong. Let me apologize.
Can I just ask, is this no, have on, to do with football?
No, I have to correct. Right. Yes, because the guy played football.
Okay.
His vice president resigned. He did fill the vacancy. That is a Senate approval. So that guy got approved by the Senate to become vice president. Then Richard Nixon resigns. This guy becomes president. This guy played football, University of Michigan. Go ahead.
Gerald Ford.
There you go!
I thought Ford was a president in like the 1920s.
Was the Michigan thing the thing that really helped you?
Yeah, I knew that he was a president of Michigan. But I swear, if you asked me, I thought he was like playing when there was only three college teams, Michigan, Army, and Navy.
Paper, by the way, invented in 105 AD by the Han Dynasty in China.
Oh, good call. So you're right. So that's well after prehistoric cavemen. Good call by you guys. Let's go to Mike in Manhattan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? You know, Evan, you got it right. About four wins for the Giants. But let's talk about Buffalo. We were sold on this. Dable was going to bring the Buffalo system over. On offense, even with the players they picked, nothing has been developed up or no one has shown. Like you said about Pittsburgh, comparing defense. The Giants can't stop the run. They can never stop the run. All of a sudden, they're going to be able to stop the run.
They have a completely different defense this year, Mike.
Listen, but not different philosophy. He's not a teacher, okay? Why isn't he calling the plays this year? There's another out. All he's doing is smoke and mirrors to get to the next contract, okay? Why isn't he calling the plays this year?
He didn't call the plays when they were successful in 2022. He's focusing on being a head coach and grooming Jackson Dart, which he should be doing.
But isn't his M.O. supposed to be the offensive coordinator, the guru, the master of the Buffalo
system? It's still his offense. He's installing all the plays. Kafka's just literally calling them.
You know why he's not calling the plays? Let's all be honest.
Because the owner asked him not to. That's why.
That's absolutely true. Because I'll never forget during those press conferences after the season was over when John Mara was asked about him calling plays, his answer was, yeah, we'll talk to him about it. Which made me seem like the principal was telling the teacher, you're not doing this anymore.
Look, we could say a lot about the Giants, and I think they actually have better ownership than some fans have been frustrated with. John Mara gets involved a little too much. He should not be dictating to the head coach whether he should or should not be calling plays, and even if he didn't literally tell them, it certainly felt like in that post-presser that there was a veiled threat there. You're done calling plays, and that's why he's not.
Well, and that's a part of why bringing them back on the fourth year is such a slippery slope, and I know it's too late to even relitigate this, but it's part of why this was also challenging. Because when you bring in a new head coach, it's do what you got to do and the results will dictate this. Aaron Glenn, do what you got to do. If you don't win, 4 years from now, we're going to have a new conversation. And the results are the results.
We know
when you are 4 years into a term and the owner says, I'm not happy, I'm not in a good mood, and by the way, I don't like the fact that you're calling plays, you're almost pressured to have to hand those duties off. But here's the bottom line to our last caller and to you. Because let's shorthand his point. Which is Brian Daboll came from Buffalo. He's supposed to be an offensive guru. In the 3 years he's been here, they have been 15th, 30th, and 31st in points.
Yeah.
Year one, 15th, by the way, great job, Daniel Jones. They were middle of the pack offense, which I think we all looked at and said, that's great. That's a pretty damn good job by Brian Daboll. They were 31st the year before with Joe Judge.
Yep.
So I think year one was, wow, 15th is pretty good. But since then, the last 2 years, they've been the worst offense in football. And so what he is saying is he's supposed to be a guru. When the hell are we going to see it?
When he has a quarterback he likes.
Does he have a quarterback he likes?
I think he does.
Then this better be a damn good offense.
I agree with you.
Will it be?
I think the offense will be somewhere in that 12 to 18 range this year.
That's a win, by the way, if you get that.
I do.
That's a significant upgrade.
And 12 is probably a little too optimistic because I'd like another big weapon outside of Neighbors. But yeah, I do think so.
Now, I think that would be wonderful.
Okay.
I don't want to be a bad guy when I say I think that has very little to no chance of happening.
You don't think they could be the 15th rate? You don't think they could have 2022 type scoring?
I'm very skeptical about this offensive line.
Dude,
I am. I mean, am I crazy for saying that?
No, obviously, look, if we're operating under Andrew Thomas is going to get hurt, you're not crazy for saying that. But if Andrew Thomas is healthy, which he's allowed to be, then they absolutely could be the 15th best offense.
The last 2 years has shown me he won't be.
All right.
There's a viral video going on TikTok. And I'm going to describe it to you. I'm not going to play it for you because it doesn't translate very well audio-wise.
You're on TikTok?
But you will. It was sent to me and it's
okay.
Hilarious.
All right.
So this woman says to her boyfriend, if I told you it has snowed every day in Alaska for the last 30 years, how much would you bet that it's going to snow in Alaska today. And he's like, excuse me, can you repeat the question? I said, oh, no, no, fine, I'll repeat it for you. If I told you it has snowed every single
snowblower.
Day. Every day for 30 years in Alaska. I'm telling you, it's happened every day for 30 years. Would you bet on them for it to snow again? And he said, of course I would. And she says, well, why would you do that? Hold on. Just be patient. It's actually not making fun of you. It's making fun of somebody else. Just listen. And she's like, why would you make the bet? And he's like, well, the data tells me. And she's like, oh, that's interesting. Well, doesn't the data also tell you that your Cowboys aren't going to the NFC Championship game?
That's good. That's good.
And the look on this guy's face was, what?
That's pretty good.
So, long story short, the data tells you Andrew Thomas is probably not playing 17 games.
As you were telling that story, I know where you're going. You know what I was saying? I wouldn't bet that. They're due for it not to snow.
Let it snow. Let it snow. Let it snow.
When we come back, more of your calls at 888-808-1019. But yes, it's coming back. A lot of people have asked, Evan, when are you bringing that game back? We love that game. It helped us get ready for the football season. It helped us get ready for our fantasy draft. Are you bringing back new team, who dis? And it is true. We will play a brand new edition of new team, who dis? If you've never played the game, it's worlds of fun. We name a football player who is on a new team.
Okay.
And you have to guess what team are they on in a game we call new team, who dis?
I'm so happy we could do this because I haven't yet been able to open up my NFL magazine because we haven't played this game yet.
Really?
I've been waiting for you to do it.
And the best part is, and we'll play it when we come back, the theme song returns too.
Let's go.